Book of James, chapter 1. And the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 5. The book of James, chapter 1. While you're turning there, let's remember to pray especially for Mr. Phyllis Shuffler, who had to take to the hospital a while ago. And I think will be operated on Tuesday morning. Let's pray for her, and also for Brother Rob and Sister Kathy and Tater and Earlene as they're traveling back on the highways. If they are coming back tonight, I don't know if they're supposed to or not. But anyway, let's pray for them and Carolyn. And let's pray for others that are sick and not able to be with us. Continue to pray for Sister Pauline Brun. All right, in the book of James, chapter 1, we're going to look at a verse also in Ecclesiastes, chapter number 5. If someone next to you doesn't have a Bible, you might want to share yours with them. We can read these scriptures together tonight. And I hope the Lord will speak to our hearts and help you as a Christian. We're going to be talking to Christian people tonight. All the way through the book of Acts, the apostles preached. And they didn't just preach to lost people, they preached to Christian people. Anybody who thinks Christian people don't need preaching to hadn't got a very good idea of what's going on. Christian people need preaching to. Preachers need preaching to. Teachers need preaching to. Keep you in a straight line. Sometimes you forget things, and preaching brings them back to your mind. And that's why we need preaching. That's right. We need preaching. I don't see how some people make it in the church, the churches some of them have to go to. I don't see how they make it not hearing preaching. They must have the Lord must just give them extra special grace or something to get by. I tell you, I like to go hear the preaching of the Word of God. James chapter 1, let's look at verse 19. You getting up this time, Steve? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth. See that verse there? Isn't that something? Right? You've heard of people have diaper rash? At least some Christian people got mouth rash. Tongue rash. Spiritually, it's got all those ugly sores and bleeding and busted all over their mouth. Such filthy mouth. And I told you this morning I was going to be talking about this tonight. The Bible said in the rest of that verse, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Don't forget that. Therefore, let thy words be few. I want to preach to you tonight on a sin that's very, very common among Christians. A sin that probably every Christian in here has been guilty of at one time or another. I'll be the first to admit tonight that I've been guilty of this sin since I've been saved. It's a wicked sin. It's a slick sin. It'll slip in on you. I ain't been drunk since I've been saved. I wasn't drunk before I got saved, but I ain't been drunk since I've been saved. Not one time. I ain't shot nobody. I ain't robbed a bank. But I've committed this sin, and I want the Lord to help us tonight to see it and try to give you some things that'll help you. It's the sin of criticism. I want to bring you a message tonight on criticism. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, Father, for the help and strength that You've given us, Lord, to be able to come to Your house and worship You in spirit and truth. God, I thank You tonight for the privilege of standing behind this desk and preaching the precious, holy, infallible Word of the living God. Lord, we know it's quick. We know it's powerful. We know it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder soul and spirit, and into the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We know it's Your book because of this. Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight for the privilege of being here. I thank for these have come on Sunday night to the house of the Lord. Amen.
Lord, I pray that You'd instruct us. God, we as Your children need cleaned up tonight. We need to watch our mouth, watch our tongue. God, let not our heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Help us, dear Lord, to remember that we'll give an account of every idle word that we shall speak in the day of judgment. Help us to see these truths. Speak to our heart and do what needs to be done, and we'll praise You and thank You for it. Help us now, Father, we pray. Touch these lips of clay. We'll glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight for just a little while. You pay attention and hold your Bibles there. On the subject of criticism. The word criticize means to judge or to find fault with. There's always a Monday morning dime-store barbershop quarterback who can tell you every mistake that was made in the game on Sunday evening. I remember, boys, when I went to school and when I used to work in a plant, that we'd go to work on Monday and there'd always be some guy and he'd say, I'll tell you where that old coach messed up yesterday. If he hadn't pulled old so-and-so out in the third quarter and he had left old what's-his-name in there, they'd have won the game. They know how it's done, you know it. But they've never played a game of football in their life, never coached a game, never been on the field. All they want to know, all they know how to do, is criticize. And they're like, I know a lot of Christians who are like this, that are outwardly a righteous person, outwardly a good person, but they're like that strange brand of turkey that I read about. I read about this kind of turkey, and brother, that thing's called a capercaillie. Capercaillie in Ripley's, believe it or not. And brother, that thing, they said it was flipped and it'd fly away. And the only time you could catch it was when it gobbled. And you know, I know a lot of God's people who are like that. Outwardly, you can't find one thing wrong with their life. I mean, their hair is short. Their dresses are past their knees. I tell you, they wouldn't steal nothing from nobody. And they outwardly live a good Christian life. Don't tell any lies. I mean, don't drink liquor. And don't go to the movies. And don't do all that. But the only time you can catch them is when they start gobbling. And you find out then that they're not quite as right as they appear to be. Now, the Bible tells us to let our words be few. My daddy used to tell us a long time ago, he said, if you'd think a couple of days, something like that, before you said what you was going to say, you'd probably wind up not saying about half of what you say. And that's what the Bible means when it said be slow to speak. Be awful slow before we speak. You know, I've popped off and run my mouth about things before. And get in a big way, you know, and get a bunch of people together, and you start talking, and the first thing you know, you've done crossed the line. And first thing you know, you done said something you shouldn't have said. And then you start feeling like you've done wrong. You have to tell one lie to get out of another lie. And next thing you know, the devil's got you. I want to talk to you about that sin tonight, the sin of criticism. Now, I want to say, first of all, tonight, that we are quick to criticize. Human nature is quick to criticize. You know that? You're just built that way. Men, women alike. You're just something in you that when you see something, you analyze it, you judge it, and if you're not careful, you criticize it. Just our nature, especially when you're not right with God. When a man's not right with God, he'll criticize more than he is when he is right with God. Ain't that right? When a woman's not right with God, she'll start criticizing everything and everybody because she's not right with the Lord. Now, sometimes that's not the case, but most of the time it is. I can tell you, if you're right with God tonight, by how you think when I mention certain people or a certain name. You know, if you go into some people tonight and you mention the name Peter, what would be the first thing a backslid person would think? If a person ain't right with God and you mention Peter, you know what the first thing they'll think is? Why, he cussed. Why, he denied the Lord. But a person who's right with God will think about the other stuff that Peter done. When you think about Peter, what do you think of? You say, well, that Peter, he ought to be shot. There he was a preacher. There he was a disciple. Went out there and started cussing and ruined his testimony. And brother, he told the little maid that he didn't know the Lord and he denied the Lord. But you're forgetting about something, friend. Before you criticize Peter, you just remember he preached a sermon sermon about a month later where 3,000 people got saved. He walking by the temple one day and he saw a lame man at the hour of prayer and he said, "Children, go ain't got, but what I've got you can have." And he raised that man up and he went leaping and walking. Until you've done that, you better keep your mouth off Peter. Amen? I tell you, I ain't never raised no lame man up from a couldn't even walk. I ain't got no bone to pick with Peter. Oh, Ananias and Sapphira come in. Oh, Peter's sitting at his desk to study him. And they come in, there's been a hypocrite and sold her land, wasn't living right, couldn't come to lie about it to the church. And Ananias come in and he said, "Peter, we done sold our land. Oh, the Lord had been good to us. And we sold our land, going to give all money to church." Peter said, "How much did you sell it for?" And he told him a figure. And he said, "Why, you're a liar. The devil's in your heart." And Brother Peter no doubt fell down dead. About 3 hours later, which is scripture, takes a woman 3 hours longer to get ready to go to church than does a man. 3 hours later, his wife came sashaying in like she owned the place. And she said, "Oh, Brother Peter, woo, woo, hallelujah. Oh, Peter, I come to tell you something." And Peter said, "What do you want?" And she said, "Me and my husband sold the land." And she started speaking in tongues. And the next thing you know, she told him, she said, "We sold the land." He said, "How much did you get out of it?" And she said the same thing her husband said. He said, "You're alive. And the feet of your husband's up there, bud, and then we're going to tear you out." Bang, she hit the floor. And until you've got that kind of discernment and that kind of power, don't criticize Peter. We think about, what do you think about when I say David? You know what a lot of people think about? Somebody ain't right with God. Oh, that low-down king, he ought to be killed. He committed adultery, took another man's wife. But, hold it just a second. He also wrote the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd." You ever wrote anything to top that? I ain't never read nothing to top. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul." Until you wrote a piece of poetry or literature that can top that, you better stay off of David. Amen? He also killed a giant. You done that? I ain't killed no giants lately. So I reckon I just better leave him alone, don't you think? You say, "I committed adultery." You ain't killed a giant, too. You better remember that. Old Thomas, he's got the name of Doubting Thomas. And I bet his feelings are hurt in heaven. He's been called Doubting Thomas for hundreds of years now. But really, I don't know. Really, if I believe we're too hard on him sometimes. I mean, you can't blame him. The disciples come running in one day, and they said, "Lord, rose from the dead." Now, he wasn't willing to take their word for it. He said, "I don't know if you boys know what you're talking about or not." Now, you see, if he'd have went out and started preaching right then, he said, "He rose from the dead." Somebody'd say, "How you know, Thomas?" He'd say, "Because Peter and them told me he did." That's right. But he said, "I ain't going to believe till I see him myself." You've always seen him. I get to see him. And so when he did believe, then he went out and started preaching. Somebody said, "How you know?" He said, "I saw him." And a lot of times we get down on Doubting Thomas and call him, you know, Doubting Thomas. And boy, we wouldn't have done that if we'd have been there. But I want you to know, friend, he was one of the disciples. He was one of the 12 that the Lord chose to follow him. And I ain't one of the 12 disciples, and neither are you. So we're awful quick to criticize other preachers. I've heard people just give Billy Graham down the road, and I've heard them call him everything in the book. And I'm not saying I support everything Billy Graham does or everything Billy Graham says. But I want you to know, brother, until you preach the message where about 10,000 got saved, I believe we'd be better off keep quiet about him. Amen. Now, I'm not saying I'm not exposed to apostasy. I'm not saying, Lord, not God has sometimes exposed the sin of men. Just because a man's a preacher don't mean his sin shouldn't be exposed too. I believe preacher's sins ought to be told on just like an average layman or a church member. But I want you to know a lot of times we're quick to criticize anybody who does anything for God, and a lot of times we're just shooting off our mouth when we don't know what we're talking about. Churches, you know what's wrong with churches tonight? They're criticizing each other so much and so much jealousy that God can't bless none of them. The little churches criticize the big churches, and the big churches criticize the little churches. I've been to big churches, and they said, "Boy, I tell you, if you got something, you'll have a crowd." And then I went to the little churches, and they said, "I tell you, we stand for the truth around here. And if a man stands for the truth, he won't have many that'll listen to him." Now, somebody wrong there somewhere, folks. Here's one group over here saying, if you preach the truth, you'll have people. Here's another group saying, if you preach it right, you know what that is? That's just an excuse for having a little church. And the other one is saying, well, God, we must be doing right because God blessed us. They ain't neither one of them true. Just because the church is big don't mean it's right. Just because the church is little don't mean it's right. It's got to have God upon it. And so we ought to just lay off everybody else and do what God wants us to do. I read about this preacher and he got him a complaint book. He had his members, you know, and they were always griping at each other, you know, getting in arguments and stuff, and the women couldn't get along and having all kinds of disagreements. And he made him and got him a complaint book. And he said, next time somebody called him on the phone, she said, well, preacher, I just thought you ought to know something about so-and-so. And boy, she just started giving, he said, wait just a minute. He said, I've got my complaint book. And he said, I want to get down everything you say, and I want you to sign your name to it right here. Then we'll go take up the matter with this other person, and I want to be able to quote you word for word. And boy, when they seen that open book and that pen laying there, none of them didn't want to do it. And he said he kept that book for 40 years and never wrote a line in it. I've heard people say a lot of things, and I've done it myself. I've even done it myself. You ever been in a church argument and you said, I tell you one thing, I ain't scared of them. I'd say it if they're standing right here. And really, half the time, we really wouldn't say it if they're standing right there. We like to think we would, but a lot of times we probably wouldn't. Well, we're quick to criticize. Listen, brother, don't criticize too quickly. Even a clock that don't work right twice every day, you know that? That's why. Even when it goes too fast, too slow, it hits it right twice a day. I mean, it ain't all bad. But you think about tonight, this thing of criticism. I want to give you secondly tonight, the reasons people criticize. The reasons people criticize. Now, if you've got this sin, and I guess everybody in here, don't you dare sit back there tonight and let the devil tell you I'm just talking about you. Don't you do that. I'd say the same thing I'm saying if you wasn't here. There's a lot of people said, uh-oh, he knows about me. He's talking about me. He knows I've been... You know, and don't do that. Don't let the devil tell you that. There's probably not a Christian in this room that ain't guilty of this. Not a one. The reason people criticize, number one, they're under conviction. That's right. They see you doing it, and they get convicted because they're not doing it, and so they begin to find fault with you to bring you down to their level. You can always tell a failure by the way he criticizes success. Have you ever noticed that people who are doing something are not real big critics? But the ones who are always criticizing everything and anybody, most of the time, now I realize sometimes when you're a preacher, you have to just blast everything and you know, all kinds of sin and all. But I mean, talking about just somebody just sitting around running their mouth. Usually, they are the ones who are under conviction, not doing what they ought to do. They don't do anything, and it bothers them that anybody else is doing anything. They get under conviction and start feeling guilty. I remember when we first got saved, a bunch of old folks been sitting around church about 40 years. We come in and got on fire for the Lord, and they said, those young people are messing up our church. And it's just one thing after another like that. And a lot of times, if you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing, somebody else comes up and starts doing it, it'll bother you. It always kind of tickles me when we're out giving out tracts. I know it's just kind of mean, but you can't help from doing it sometimes. Man, you're out there and you're burning up, and everybody's making fun of you, and you're about, you know, you're sweating and trying to do something for the Lord. About that time you offer some smarty a tract, and they say, I'm already a Christian, keep it. You know what we do when they do that usually? I know it's kind of mean, but you can't help it sometimes. Somebody come by and said, I'm already a Christian. I don't need it. And I said, oh, well, good. You're a Christian. Here, take some of these. Help us give them out. You ought to see how they look when you do that. They just go, they take off like a scalded dog. They get under conviction. Old Mike right there, we wheeled him out in his wheelchair yesterday, right in the middle of Main Street Morgan. Right in the middle, right on the red light. And he's sitting there preaching, and people are gathered around listening. You know what that is? That is a rebuke to every Christian who ain't doing something for God out witnessing. That's a rebuke to them. They can't stand it. That's a rebuke to every one of them that says, well, I've got a bad back, and I've got this, and I've got that. Man, he can't even walk. He's out doing something for God, and they can't stand it when somebody does something and begin to criticize them. That's the only way they can feel good. The British climbed, the first one to climb Mount Everest, I believe. They just stuck the British flag on top of it. And one day there's a guy from another country, and he's griping about it. He said, oh, you British make me sick. You got up there and tried to claim Mount Everest. Now, they stuck your flag up there. That's just a land claim you tried to make. And oh, he's just giving them down the road. And this fellow says, all right, buddy, only thing I can tell you, if you don't like it, climb up there and take it down. He couldn't get up there. He'll just keep his mouth shut. All right, they're under conviction. But then the second reason people criticize is because they're jealous of you. They're so jealous, they're green. They see you doing something for God. And like the old preacher said one time, if they're always kicking you, you know you're ahead of them. Amen? Now, I want you to know, folks, we've not got time to sit around and knock everybody else. We've got a job to do. We've got a race to run. And we'll not waste our time with putting a magnifying glass on everybody else trying to figure out what they're doing wrong. We'll just try to do something for the Lord. You know what? There's a bunch of people like they was at Acts. All they do is sit around, try to find something else about somebody so they can go tell somebody else and criticize and criticize and criticize. I've had 59 people tell me how to start a church since I started this one. And I felt like telling them, go start one yourself if you know so much about it. There's always somebody that ain't doing nothing that'll always tell you how to do it. They'll always tell you what you're doing wrong to. Them ain't hit a lick. That's why we said, about the building and all. If you don't like the way it's being built, you should have come to the building meeting. That's all I can say. They're jealous. We've had parents getting mad. This is funny, but it's the truth. Getting mad when their kid got saved and come to this church. I'm thinking of several. I can name you some right now. One girl got saved here one Sunday. She just lit up. Boy, you just see how she's so happy and everything. And her mom said, now, you better think before you start going there. They won't let you go dancing. And they won't even believe in social drinking. And she kept on and on and on and on. And that girl don't even go to church here now. Did you know these people in McDowell County are so messed up that they'd rather their kid be out in sin than they had to be coming to... You know why? I believe when they found out they got saved, it kind of scares them. They say, uh-oh, they're going to get fanatical. And they're going to get overboard and get religious. And they know they're going to start reproving them for the ungodly life they're living. And so they just cut them out. Right off the bat. Criticize and criticize. People think they make themselves look big by making other people look small. A person usually criticizes the person whom they secretly envy. Now, it's not always that way, but usually. Not only that, number three, the third reason people criticize is because it's so easy. It requires no talent, no work. Any lazy man can do it. You don't have to have any talents. Criticize. That's one talent you ought to bury if you got that talent. Amen? I want you to know, folks, it's so easy. Somebody said one time, criticizing an egg is a lot easier than laying one. And brother, there's a lot of people need to realize that. I would tell you something. I don't know if I say this or not. It's in the Bible, but there's a lot of words in the Bible. If you say them, people think you're cussing because the devil has took them and made cuss words out of them, you know? And so when a preacher says them, they say, oh, he's cussing. But they ain't never read the Bible enough to know them words are in the Bible. And the old saying goes that any old jack can kick down a barn, but it takes a carpenter to build one. A man said one time, he was a carpenter, and he was a builder. And he said, we're going to build a building. And he said, so he had some tearing down a building. And a man come by and he said, do you use the same crew to tear down these buildings as you do to rebuild another building? He said, oh, no, man. We can just go out here on the street and get any old gangs and tear it down. He said, we just go get old bunch of bums off the street, let them start tiring, jerking out nails and burning it and throwing it down. He said, any old crew can tire down one, but it takes a skilled laborer and a worker to build one. And that's the truth. Anybody can knock, anybody can cut, anybody can criticize, but it takes a little more to build and do something for the Lord. You don't have time to criticize when you harmonize, sympathize, and evangelize. You don't have time to criticize. Brethren, the next reason people criticize is it's a habit. Just a plain old habit. If you start it, you'll never be able to quit. He asked God to get it out. First thing you know, you'll be looking for something wrong in everybody. Young Christians are awful bad for this. When I first got saved, boy, I got right with the Lord, and the next thing I knowed, I was looking around at everybody trying to find what I could find wrong with them. And I said, well, there's old so-and-so. I heard him say something one day that he just shouldn't have said. And there's old sister so-and-so. If I was her, I'd beat that young one half to death. Looks like she'd make that thing behave. And there's old so-and-so. Well, his hair is too long. And there's old so-and-so. I saw him the other day driving down the road, and he sounded like he had some rock music on. And there's old so-and-so. I saw him going down the other day, and he went to the store on Sunday. And there's old so-and-so. And next thing you know, I didn't know anybody that was right with God but me.
You know the truth, don't you? I wasn't either. Let that settle in on you just a minute.
If you get to thinking you're the only one that's right,
brother, you're wronger than you ever been.
You say, yeah, but I wouldn't do what so and so. Yeah, that's why I wouldn't do some things you do either.
Is this woman one time? Old Brother Ruckman told that story about how that this lady come to him one time, and she said, I just don't like to hear so-and-so preach. And he said, ma'am, what's wrong? She said, well, I tell you, if you knew what I know about that preacher. And he said, now, ma'am, I know so-and-so. He ain't perfect, but he's human. I mean, well, I believe he loves the Lord and trying to do the best he can. Yeah, but if you knew about what I know about that preacher. And he finally just took all that extent. He said, lady, if I knew about you what God knows about you, I'd puke. And she didn't think that was a bit funny. But that's the truth. Do you know that? If y'all knew everything there was to know about me, you'd all get up and walk out right now. And if I knew everything there was to know about you, I'd be scared to stand up here tonight. Brother, let me tell you something. When you get to the place where you are so super spiritual that nobody's right with God but you, you need to get right with God yourself.
And I've done this. I know what I'm talking about. I've done it. John Wesley, one of the greatest men ever lived, no doubt. He criticized this man for not giving. He knew this man made good money, and he gets giving down the road. He said, he ought to give more. He ought to do more. He ought to give more. And one day he just raked him out over it. He said, man, make the kind of money you are, why don't you give more than you give? And the man said, well, see, Mr. Wesley, I've been taking a few pennies a week and living off bread and soup and water. Come to find out, he got into a bunch of trouble and bills before he got saved, and he's putting every dime he made on paying them bills back that he owed before he got saved. You see, you never know what a person might be going through that you don't know about. You know, if you look back at somebody and you say, well, boy, they ain't doing right. You better be careful because you don't know what they might be going through. Well, the people who criticize, number three, right quick. What kind of people are the ones who criticize? Now, I know this is all of us. I know every one of you is sitting there under conviction right now. I mean, you can't even think about this without thinking like that, feeling bad and guilty. Every one of you probably said stuff this week you shouldn't have said. Today, last week before. First of all, the ones who have quit running and sat down on the sideline. You say, well, I know somebody, and they criticize everybody, and they're running. Not while they're criticizing, they don't. They sit down long enough to criticize. We've got a race to run. We don't have time to watch each other. We are to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, the Christian life is like a race. And you're running. And say, I've got a lane, you've got a lane, the other man's got a lane, everybody's got a lane. All I have to worry about is running in my lane. If Brother Dale don't run in his lane, none of my business. Brother Mike don't run his lane. It's none of my business. My business is to do what God has given me to do. If you don't do it, brother, that's absolutely your life. You'll face it at the judgment. But you know what a lot of Christian people are doing? Here we go. We're running down the race. And boy, we're supposed to be looking to Jesus. But the next thing you know, we start looking at each other. And we'll say, look at them tennis shoes he's got on. I wouldn't dare run in them things. And you stop it. You'll say, well, it looks like, look at them old baggy running shorts he's got on. Looks like he gets some that fit him. And it looks like this. Now look, you see what the devil's done? You could have been way on down the road. But here you are watching somebody else. I know preachers that their whole ministry consists of seeing what everybody else is doing wrong that they wouldn't do. And as a result, they ain't doing this and they ain't doing that and they ain't doing the other and they ain't doing nothing for God neither. Mad about something that happened. The next kind of the people who criticize are people who are unreasonable. God's people, sometimes the most unreasonable bunch of people you ever met in your life. They won't listen to good sense. They act like crazy people. It's truth. You women, bless your hearts. I said something good about you this morning. I really did. But y'all going to have to watch that. The devil, he'll come to you women, and he'll make you just not like one or the other one. You don't even know why. You just don't like them. Won't speak to them. And you don't realize the devil's using you to hinder the work of the whole house of God. If there is a woman in this church that you can't speak to with a clear conscience, you need to get right, get it straight. That's right! I know churches. I've been to them. Now, Lord, thank God we don't have that problem on this kind of a scale. But I've been to churches where there'd be one crowd on this side and another crowd on that side, and them wouldn't speak to them, and them wouldn't speak to them. Son, I mean, they'd go around the back side to keep having to speak to each other. And they'd know they're there, and they'd stand with their back turned and talk a while till that person got gone just to keep from having to shake their hand. Criticism is people who are unreasonable. An old Italian saying says, he who wants mule without fault may go afoot. It's a lot worse. Not only that, criticism is by the unexperienced. Never criticize somebody until you've been down that road. I learned that lesson, brother. The Lord taught me that the hard way. Never criticize somebody else until you walk in their shoes. Never criticize an Indian till you've walked in his moccasins, they used to say. And brother, I remember before I started pastoring, I was doing evangelistic work. And I'd go into churches and I'd preach revival, and boy, I'd just give them down the road. And I'd say, boy, it's a shame some of the things you let go on around here. And I'd think that pastor sure ain't what he ought to be. And I'd criticize him in my heart. And you know what old brother Danny done? When I got to pastoring and I came to that same place, I wound up doing the same thing I'd criticized the man of God before for doing. You see, it always looks different when you get up here and start looking back there. It's easy to sit back and say it should be done this way. I don't see why I done this. I don't see why I done this. Listen, it's easy. But when you get in their shoes, brother, it's a whole different ball game. I tell you, brother, you think about that. I mentioned that football game a while ago. You know, if you're sitting 2 miles up and looking down on the stadium, or you're sitting at home watching it on TV and you got that thing, a close-up view and stop action, and they're about 40 or 50 feet above the field, and you can see the balls, you can see the players, you can say, well, that dummy, why didn't he catch that? You ever done that? He was right in his hands and the dummy missed it. Old Butterfingers. It really looks stupid, them missing them easy passes, don't it? I tell you what, you get down there on that field, and you're down here now. You ain't up there looking it over. You're down here in about 20, 300-pound goons between you and the quarterback. And here you go running, brother, and people waving their hands right in your face and 10,000 people screaming in each ear. It ain't quite as easy as it looks when you're sitting in your living room in a nice, comfortable chair up above the stadium where you can see all the play. It looks a lot different there. I used to go to ball games when I was little. Boy, they'd miss a layup. Somebody come down court and miss one. I'd say, boy, what a dummy. How'd he get on the team? My turn come. And here I was running my head off down there, but trying to look there. I couldn't even see where I was going. And the next thing I know, looking there was a ball, and I just throwed it up. Didn't even see the goal or nothing. It's everything. It's a lot harder when you're out there doing it. A whole lot harder. It's easy to sit back and criticize when you... I'm tempted to tell y'all a story. I can't get it off my mind. I'm just going to give you an illustration, okay? You know what an illustration is? It's a window. It lets light in on the truth you're trying to get across. Preaching without illustration usually don't make too good a preacher. Let me read a story I heard the other day. And I cannot get it on my mind. It such illustrates this point we was talking about the other day. This old story where these two high schools, and they were both all black high schools, played each other every year in football. And these teams, they were great rivals, you know. And they come out there, and every year the big game was between these two schools. They were real close. And so, one day, the big game finally comes, it's homecoming, something like that, you know, they're going to have the big game, and they're all got to go in. And one team usually won the game. Usually, 9 out of 10, this one school beat the other one. And they got there, and they got the thing going, you know, and the team that usually got beat was getting beat, and it's 45-0 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. 45-0, brother. Not a point been scored. And so the team who was losing had one star great player, and his name was Calhoun. And Calhoun had been hurt, and he's sitting on the bench, and he hadn't been getting to play very much. And so Calhoun was sitting on the bench, you know, and he's getting blasted, 45-0. And so they came up there, and the fourth quarter came, and everybody, you know, was worried, and they was getting slaughtered. Thought they might score at least 1 point. But the coach thought, well, we ain't going to win no way. I'll just keep Calhoun on the bench, and we'll put him in next game. And about that time, all the cheerleaders got up, and they all started hollering. And they all got together and said, give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun! So they went on and on like that for a few minutes, and they just were screaming and hollering, oh, give the ball to Calhoun! Next thing you know, the cheerleaders on the other team got together and they said, now listen, we're going to beat them. There ain't no way they can win. Why don't we just join in and help them? So they all start hollering on their side, give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun! Next thing you know, the fourth quarter started, the time was starting to run out, and by then everybody in the stadium had joined in on the chant. Both sides, thousands of people, all of them, give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun! And finally the coach took all he could take of that stuff and he said, Calhoun, come here! Calhoun jumped up off the bench and said, yes, sir, coach. And old Calhoun scared to death. He didn't want to go in that game. He was about a broke leg. He didn't want to go in. But anyway, he said, get in there and get that ball and run with it. So here goes he in the game. They went to the huddle. Stayed and stayed. Got penalized 5 yards. Stayed and stayed. Never would come out of the huddle. Finally, the huddle broke. Quarterback got the ball, faked it to Calhoun, and gave it to another guy. And a guy came running in, went around and got tackled. So, they went back to the huddle. He said, let's get back here. They huddled. They stayed. They stayed and stayed. You didn't think it was ever going to come out. And finally, they got penalized 5 yards. Moved them back 5 yards. They stayed and stayed. Finally, the huddle broke. They all lined up. Snapped the ball. Quarterback got the ball. Fakes it to Calhoun. Give it to another man. He ran around and got tackled. By this time, everybody was screaming to the top of their lungs. Give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun! Just over and over and over. They wanted to see Calhoun get the ball. So they went and huddled and stayed again. Finally, the huddle broke. They're all screaming, give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun! Quarterback went out to center field, 50-yard line, started waving his hand, quieting everybody down. Quiet! Be quiet! Be quiet! And brother, everybody got just as quiet as a mouse. He cupped his hands right back as hard as he can and he said, Calhoun say he don't want that ball! Well, what if you'd have been down there? And everybody in the whole place hollering and screaming your name. And you know the whole team is going to jump on you if you get it. Let me tell you something, friend. It's a lot easier till God puts you in the ball game. You know what most churches are? Most churches, about 75% of the people, don't do anything but just sit and watch. They don't take part. They're not a runner. They're a spectator. Just sit in the grandstand. For the Lord's sake, get down off the grandstand. Quit criticizing everybody else. Get on the track and run for the Lord. Don't criticize somebody. You've been in their shoes. All right, number four tonight, how to handle criticism. How to handle it. You've been criticized? Here's how to handle it. Remember, it's our reaction that's important. We're not responsible for other people's actions. We are responsible for our reactions. You can't help how people act, but you can help how you react to it. See, if somebody does me wrong, I can't help that, but I can help how I react to it. Amen? You remember that. How to handle criticism? Remember, it's your reaction that counts. These preachers down here go out and preach on the street, they get it all the time. They get called every name in the book. I mean, they get made fun of, they get mocked, and a lot of times it's our fleshly nature to want to rise up and fight back. But I tell you, brother, we're not responsible for their actions. We're responsible for how we react. I want to say tonight how to handle criticism is remember that. If criticism can't hurt you anyway, you know that? It really can't. They say sticks and stones break my bones. Words can't hurt me. They say if criticism had any real power, there wouldn't be any skunks. They'd be extinct. I mean, as bad-mouthed people have been bad-mouthing them all these years, there wouldn't even be none. And so tonight, let's remember how to handle criticism. Number one, what you do if you're getting criticized a lot, number one, don't fight back. If you do, you're just as guilty as they are. Don't retaliate. Don't say, well, so what? She does this and thus and so. Sometimes when I find out somebody said something bad about me, the first thing I think of, well, big deal. I seen them doing that the other day. I want to think of something wrong with them and stab them back for stabbing me. That's the wrong way to do it. The Bible says, with what measure ye meet shall be measured unto you again. Don't fight back. A lot of times, it's better just to let people go ahead and take what they want to. I know Christians right here in McDowell County that ain't serving God or backslid. And you go talk to them and say, why don't you get back to church and get right with God? They'll say, well, people would say this, people would say that. Just don't worry about what people are going to say. You ain't got but one life. It's going to be over with pretty quick. You better just get on the ball and do something. Time's flying. It's going by. Best thing to do is sometimes just go ahead and let them think it. I remember this guy called me one time. And I about reacted wrong. I'm glad I didn't, but it kind of made me mad. He called me one time and out in that section of town, and he said, come in here and sit down. I went in there and sat down, and he had some old, it was on Saturday evening, he had some of that filthy, ignorant bandstand or one of those old dumb dance shows on there that ain't fit for a dog to watch. Amen. He was sitting there watching that, and he said, sit down here. I said, I need to talk to you. Some of our bus workers have been trying to get his kids to come to church. He said, I want to ask you one question. I said, okay. He said, do you sell drugs? And boy, the devil got in me just about. And I almost said, yeah, man, you'll light one. Thank the Lord he held me back. I didn't say that. But I wanted to, though. That was my first reaction. But for the kids' sake, and the Lord's sake, and the church's sake, I contained myself and said, no, sir, I don't. He said, well, has somebody been calling the house here? I'm talking to my son about drugs, and his name's Danny. I said, well, I reckon I'm the only Danny in McDowell County. And just on and on and on. But you know, it would have been easier for me to get mad at that man. It would have been easier for me to say, listen here, man, what are you doing watching that kind of film? Don't run your mouth to me. I could have said that and been right, but it would have been wrong. Because I knew I was representing the church. And I knew I was representing Jesus Christ. And I know I could blow my testimony in 2 minutes, shoot off my mouth, and hurt because of Christ in this world. Don't forget that. Michelangelo one time had a sculpture, and he had it about finished. And a critic came in, and he said, well, what do you think about it? And this guy, he was one of these people that can never be satisfied. Have you ever met anybody like that? The best couldn't satisfy them. I mean, they got to find something wrong with everything. And this critic said, there's just a little bit too much on that corner up there. Michelangelo knew how they was. So he climbed up the ladder, took him a little handful of dust with him when he went. And he got up on the ladder and ding, 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 didn't even touch it. And he shattered some dust down there. He come back down and he said, how's that? And the guy, much better, much better. That's the way people are. That's the way to handle criticism. Sometimes just go ahead and let them think they're right. That's like a woman pulling in the car in the station, you know, and she says, oh, you got to come out here. I'm getting ready to take go to high school, and this thing is making a noise. It's making a funny noise. And the mechanic raises the hood, and he knows there ain't nothing wrong with it. He takes a screwdriver and goes, knocks on the hood a little bit, you know. Then closes and says, is that better? Oh, yes, that's better. Sound like new now. That's the way to handle criticism. One of the surest marks of a good character is a man's ability to accept criticism without feeling malice toward the one who gives it. Somebody said, if you're too immature to take criticism, you're not mature enough to take praise. Amen? The moon wouldn't shine if it paid any attention to all the dogs barked at it. That's right. The first time somebody says something about you, you say, listen, you won't serve God 2 months. You have to be able to take it. Number two, how to handle criticism. Okay, here's the bomb. You ready? Check to see if it's deserved. Check, you might deserve it. You shouldn't get mad about them people criticizing you if what they're saying is right and you deserve it. Now, boy, that's where it hurts. Remember, criticism from a friend is better than flattery from an enemy. Never fear criticism when you're right, but never ignore it when you're wrong. Sometimes I've heard people criticize me over something, and I'd be getting ready to get mad and say, well, what about them? About that time the Lord would smite me and say, they're right, son. They're right. Check to see if you deserve it. If it's untrue, disregard it. If it's unfair, don't let it irritate you. If it's ignorant, smile at it. If it's justified, learn from it. Three things you can do to check to see if it's deserved to handle criticism. Number one, when somebody criticizes you, first thing you do is commit it to God. Say, Lord, they said this, and they may be right. Lord, I may deserve this kind of talk. I want your will to be done. Number two, confess if needful. If you really have done wrong, confess it to the Lord. You might need to confess it to the person. Number three, the Bible says, consider him who endured such contradiction against himself. Jesus Christ caught it every way he turned. And you will too if you serve him. Remember, if you had no competitors, you'd get lazy. Competition is good for you. Make you stay on the ball. Not only that, keep on going for Jesus. I've had people in this town tell me that I shouldn't be a pastor. They told me, they said, you can't pastor church. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, you might not be able to pastor. You say, how'd that make you feel, Brother Danny? It hurt me. Hurt my feelings. I wanted to cry. I said, how come you tell me I can't? But the Lord told me to. And I thought, why would the Lord tell me to do something that I can't do? And it bothered me and hurt me, and it really did. But I tell you something, folks. You can't let what people say keep you from doing what God wants you to do. If you do, you'll never do nothing. Some of you tonight know you need to do certain things. Maybe you need to do something. But you're afraid of what somebody else would say about you. You're afraid of that. You better just forget it. If God wants you to do it, you better do it. You only got one life.
I never will forget old Brother Hiles, Jack Hiles, telling on a tape I was listening to. He went and knocked on a door one time, and this lady come to the door, and he said, "Hi, ma'am. I'm Pastor Jack Hiles." He didn't get no farther. She interrupted and said, "Oh, I've heard about you." He said, "Oh, really?" She said, "Boy, I've heard so many bad things on you. I just wouldn't dare even care to talk to you. If everything I've heard about you is true, you wouldn't believe what all I've heard about you." And he said, "Really?" She said, "Ma'am, I know some things about me that you hadn't even heard yet. They're terrible. I mean, they're pitiful. I guarantee you." She said, "Really?" He said, "If you'll let me in, I'll tell you about them." So she let him in. He come in, told her his fault, and then wanted to the Lord. That's how to handle criticism. It ain't going to hurt you. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. And the way people are going to know you're a Christian is when they hit you, if you don't hit them back. When they criticize you, if you don't criticize them back. It takes a man to do that. But I hope the Lord will help us. I praise God for the unity and the fellowship. Sometimes it almost scares me that we've got a good, loving church. I praise God for it. And I don't know of any trouble that we've had with gossiping in years, really. But the possibility somebody needed this tonight, or I believe the Lord laid it on her heart. And then maybe God spoke to your heart tonight. And you need to put this thing on the altar and get it right. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. While Brother Johnny comes and we get a song ready tonight, I wonder, you say, "Well, Brother Danny, I've been too quick to criticize." And Brother Danny, now, I'm not talking about going along with things that are wrong, folks. That's not what I've been preaching about tonight. I'm talking about when just Christians who are both living right criticize each other. If God spoke to your heart tonight, you need to ask Him to forgive you. You ought to do that. Father, I pray You'd move in this service, in this song. If there's one here tonight that needs to come, help them to come, Lord, and get whatever it is straight. Forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to run the race and do what's right. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.
Page 357. 357. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God?
Is thy heart right with God tonight?
Countest thou all things
your heart
for
right with
Jesus
God?
But lost?
Is it?
Is thy heart right with God?
Amen. How we sing?
Is thy heart right with God?
Your heart right with the Lord tonight?
Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and
Amen.
Holy.
Amen.
Right in the
is thy heart right with God?
God?
Is thy heart right with God? Why we say, won't
thou
you
come? Dominion or self and or sin?
Amen.
Is thy heart right
is
with
your
God?
Heart right with God? Is it
over all evil without and within? Is
Amen.
Thy heart right
Amen.
With God?
Why we say, won't you come?
Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson
right
flood.
Your heart right tonight? Is your heart right?
Cleansed and holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
All right, well, let's bow our heads while these are praying. Piano, play softly. Say, Brother Danny, you hit a nerve in my own life. Well, I guess it did in everybody's life. But we need to ask the Lord to help us. God spoke to your heart tonight. You might, right there where you stand, just say, Lord, I don't want to sympathize with sin, but I want to love every person on this earth and not be so quick to judge. I can remember. We'll look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not at each other, but to Jesus. Amen. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you do what needs to be done in every heart. Lord, I thank you for these honest souls who have come. Thank you for these who have sat and listened tonight. Lord, I praise you for a group of people who will take the Word of God. Pray you'd bless them. Encourage them to live for you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before you go tonight.